read a few verses to you. This is from Acts 17, when Paul is in Athens on Mars Hill, reasoning with the philosophers. He says about God in verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being," or exist. And really the better translation would be, "In him we live and move and are, become." Paul, when using the phrase "in him," he's not just saying by our worship of him, by our relationship with him. This writer, this Paul, who is the great theologian of our union with Christ, is talking about our relationship with God by being in Christ. And he's making it clear that humans were meant to live in union with God, because it's in him we live and move and become, find our true identity, our real personhood. This is another fascinating scripture to me, always has been, from Song of Solomon, chapter 2. If your Song of Solomon in your Bible doesn't look like my Song of Solomon, then you've not really discovered a Song of Solomon yet. Yours should look just as scribbled. It's the best book of the Bible. After calling the beloved up, he's saying, calling her to breakthrough. "Arise, my love, come away with me." She had asked early on, "Lord, take me away with you and let us run." And so he's responding, as he does again and again in our life, and says, "Arise, my love, my beautiful one." Basically says, where we've been is really good, but there's more. That's what's happening right now. That's what he said to us collectively and personally on Mother's Day. And then he says, "Oh, my love, my dove, in the cleft of the rocks," cleft of the rock, in Christ, "in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your presence is lovely." He's just calling this person to a place of intimacy, deeper intimacy, enjoyment of intimacy, discovery of intimacy, eyes to be opened about this offer of intimacy. That is, of course, part of our union with Christ. Hudson Taylor wrote a book about Song of Solomon called Union and Communion. That's the relationship, that we are in union with him and we get to experience communion with him. But he says, "Your voice is sweet, but your presence is lovely." And the word "lovely" is the Hebrew word for home. The Lord said to the Shulamite, "You're home to me. I find my home in you." The scripture says, I think it's Isaiah, that God is looking for a resting place not made with hands, and that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's a place in Luke chapter 10, this is really familiar, where this story about Mary and Martha, who both loved Jesus and Jesus loved them both. We're told that clearly in John chapter 11, that he loved them and Lazarus, their brother, the same. And now as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations, and came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only there's a few things that are necessary, and really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So I want you to hear this, is that when we sit at the feet of Jesus, this is what the paradox. I'm in union with him, we're one, and yet we're other. We have this relationship, and as I sit at the feet of Jesus spiritually, I find him in new ways. But when I sit at the feet of Jesus, I find me in new ways also. I discover me. Listen, and I'm not saying I'm Jesus, you understand, but let me just quote these verses to you again, super familiar, should be coming out of your ears by now, if you're a CTKer. Colossians chapter 3, "Since then you have been raised up with Christ." Ephesians chapter 2 says that you have been raised up with him and seated in him in the heavenly places. "Since then you've been raised up with him in him. Seek those things, keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God," because where he is where you are. "Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That verse can only be understood in fullness if you heard the first two verses. Since then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where is Christ? What does it say about him? Seated in heavenly places. Who is seated there with him? You and me. And so as I seek those things above, as I spend time with him, as I discover him, the wonders of all, as I cultivate intimacy, which accentuates, which accelerates my experience of union with him, as I cultivate intimacy and I sit at his feet and find more about him, because I'm hidden in him, I find more about me. Because in him, I live and move and become. For when Christ, the very next verse, who is our life, is revealed. If I'm seeking him, I'm setting my mind on him, things above, because my died and my life is hidden there in him, in God, that when Christ now is beginning to be revealed, you, the real you, begins to be revealed with him in glory. So do I spend time with the Lord because I'm trying to earn brownie points so that I can deserve blessing and favor? No, I spend time with the Lord because I'm included in all the blessing and favor that he exists in, the glory he exists in. And I not only find him as I find him, I find the more of the truth about me. How many Christians have you heard over the years, well, I'm just trying to find myself, where they're looking in the wrong places? They're not going to find themselves in a gifting or in an anointing or in a ministry or in a title. I see that happen a lot with clergy, with Christianity. But we find our identity in him. For you have died. Your life is hidden with him in God. So if you seek him who is above where you are, and you set your mind on things above, not on the earth, you're discovering the truth about you and the real you that starts to come forth. What I love for the Lord to do is give me language that's so clear and so simple, doesn't sound like it's something mystical or deep. Often people try to see their image in a pond or in some tabletop that's shiny, and they'll see their image and it's just so dull. Or some other thing. You ever done that? Like find your image in a piece of metal? TC's thought about this a lot, written some. But what if you just looked into a mirror? You would see an image. But because you're in Christ, you would see what? Yourself in him. As we behold as mirrors the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into his image from glory to glory. See, I'd rather that, because if I think I'm earning brownie points, when I finally think I hit the jackpot, I'll draw the line. But when it's this, you'll do crazy things to spend time with the Lord, to remove stuff, to be abandoned, because you know that when you sit at his feet, you don't just find him, you find you in him. It's not that you're looking for you, you're looking for him, but as you do, it just sort of comes forth. Remember what they said about Peter and John, these fishermen, when they were sitting before the Sanhedrin? They were stunned at their confidence, realizing that they had been spending time with Jesus. That's what came from spending time with Jesus. It's not confidence in yourself, it's confidence in who you are in Christ. It all flows from him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's kind of the whole scripture in the New Testament where it says that you're in him and he's in you. Song of Solomon says that you're his home and we know that he's our home. And so that's the mutual indwelling.